We are in 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, if you would. First Corinthians chapter 12. Thanks, Oscar. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here together this morning, Father, and Lord, for carrying us through each and every day of our life, Father. We thank you for the assurance that we have that no matter what happens in this life, that it's just a handbreadth of time, Father, and all of eternity is out before us and awaits us in a glorious eternity it is. And here in this present world, Father, the grace that you give us each and every day to have deep joy in this world, even as we live here. We thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that you would teach us now in our study and throughout the service. In the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 14, where Paul writes, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." All right, let's stop there. I do plan to get further than that this morning. Paul kind of takes several verses here in the middle of the chapter, this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, to kind of flesh out and to deal with this issue that we started talking about back at the beginning of the chapter, and that is the idea and the dynamic of this unity in diversity that God has created. Back in verse 4, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all." And Paul is, as we know, with this Corinthian church especially, and we've seen that this is not the only place that he talks about this same subject in very similar terms. He talks about it to the Romans. He talks about it even to the faithful Ephesians, right? We think of the Ephesians as this great kind of pinnacle church and an example of spiritual strength and faithfulness. But he's got to deal with them on this issue too. And that is the problem that's kind of most glaring in Corinth, this issue of division between the saints. And they were divided by economic class, and they were divided by who their friends were, and they were dividing themselves by which speakers they preferred. And now we get to chapter 12, and Paul starts talking about spiritual gifts, and they're dividing themselves over that, over the work of the Spirit in their church, and who has more work of the Spirit than the next guy, and who has a better work of the Spirit than the next guy. And these folks are just, you know, it's almost like they're just looking, isn't it? It's almost like we just look for things to pick at. And it's almost like we like to fight. I know that's not the way it is, but it's almost like that. We you know, it's human nature to want to exalt ourselves, and the easiest way to do that is to put the next guy down, make me look, you know, better. It's not making me any better. It's just making me better by comparison in my own mind. That's why Paul tells these guys, compare yourselves among yourselves, and that is not wise. That's not your measuring rod. So Paul has been talking about that in this context of spiritual gifts, and in verse 14, we got through verse 13 last time, in verse 14 he says, for the body is not one member, but many. So he's continuing now with this the illustration, and we talked about last week the illustration and the identification of this body, the body of Christ. And the body is not, it's not just an illustration. It's not just that we're like a body or that we function like a body. He says in verse 12, as the body is one and hath many members, and all, as the body, that's the human body, is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So that's not a simile, that's not only an illustration, it's an identification. It's telling you who Jesus Christ is, and then by our own identification, who we are. We are in fact a body. So this is how, now what that means, you look at that and you go, well, we're not in fact a body. I mean, I have my own body and you have your own body. And when we go home, we go in separate directions. A body doesn't do that. But look, this is how we are actually a body, in that this is how God is going to work this work in us. He's only going to do it when we function as an actual body. That's where the working and the power of God is. Otherwise, you're just a bunch of separate members with no life. Remember, we talked about the body and the spirit. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, and those two things go together. The body without the spirit is dead. So the only way that this life works is when we function as who we are in Christ, and who we are in Christ is a body. So that's how it's going to work, if it's going to work. So Paul wants these saints, he wants the Romans, he wants the Ephesians, he wants all the saints, he wants you and me to see that, to reckon it, to know it, and to walk it and live it by faith. So also is Christ. This is how God is doing it. Now, 14 again. For the body is not one member, but many. So, that diversity, again, we look around and we want everyone to be like I am, right? I know you all want everyone to be like Dave. No, everyone wants to, everyone else to be like them. That's the idea. And Paul says, no, look at your own body. That's not how it is. Your hand doesn't do what your foot does. Your eye doesn't do what your ear does. Everything is different, but it's all part of one body. The body is not one member, but many. Excuse me. Now watch, verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now you see what's going on here? You have people in this church who have different functions to fulfill, and Paul is continuing this this idea now of the different members of the body, and he says, if your foot starts to envy your hand, because the hand can do a lot of things that the feet can't do, right? The hands are pretty versatile and they're flexible and they work and they get things accomplished. They produce things. Paul says, let a man that stole steal no more, right? But rather let him labor, working. How? With his hands. To do those things that are good. And give to him that need it. It's hard to do that with your feet. You do that with your hands. Of course, your hands can't get to the work without your feet. Right? But your feet never, they never get the credit for that. It's your hands that get the credit for that. You know, you run a race. Who's doing all the work? Your feet and your legs are doing all the work. But when they come and hand you the trophy, who do they give it to? Do they give it to your foot? No, they put it in your hand. Your hand gets all the glory. But then when your hand takes that trophy, do the rest of the members of your body resent it and envy it? No, the whole body is honored. It's the hands that hold up that trophy, but it's the feet that's holding up the rest of the body that holds up the hands, and the whole body is honored. Just because they put that thing in your hand, the rest of the members of your body don't complain about that. Why? You know when they would start complaining about it? If your foot had a mind of its own, if your hand had a mind of its own, if all every member of your body had their own mind, oh, just think how that would work. You know why they don't complain? Because they all work by the same mind. They're all controlled by one head. That's when a body works. You know when a body becomes dysfunctional? When the signals between the head and the muscles of that member, you get a short circuit in there. That's when the thing becomes dysfunctional, when you're cut off from the head. So the members of the body work together because they're all controlled by the same mind. That's why Paul says, as often as he does, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's the mind of Christ that causes the members of the body to work together. So we've got a foot here who says, because I'm not the hand, now watch. He doesn't say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not as important. Because I'm not the hand, I don't get the attention I deserve. He says, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Now, we've talked about this issue of spiritual gifts especially. We know that through the Bible, these gifts change, and we've already seen that speaking in tongues, for example. When it first began there in Acts chapter 2, that was a sign of salvation. That was evidence of you being a part of that group. If you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't saved. People out there believe that today.
Absolutely.
Someone gets saved and the evidence of their salvation or the evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost or whatever is speaking in tongues.
Yes.
You can't speak in tongues, you're not a part of it. Well, that's what's happening here. The foot says, the foot's not just saying I'm not as good as the hand. The foot's saying I'm not in the body. Well, who's telling it that? Well, the hand and some other members of the body. No, you're not even part of the body. You're just a foot. Well, try getting along without your feet. Try getting your body to function the way it should without your feet. Yeah, your feet don't get a lot of the glory and the praise. I'll tell you what, as somebody who's been dealing with worsening nerve damage in your feet for the last 10 years, when your feet start giving you problems, you start paying attention to them. Because you need your feet. And you need your hands. So, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So just because the thing is saying, the foot is feeling like it's left out here. Like this guy, whoever this is, isn't even saved. And they're feeling that way because the rest of the members are making them feel that way. And Paul's saying, does that mean they're not part of the body? No. You're still part of the body. You know, there are saints that think that, you know, God doesn't have anything really, you know, that he's doing in my life, at least nothing really great. Maybe it used to be that I used to be able to, you know, do this. I had an opportunity to do that. All those opportunities are gone now.
Yes, sir.
Start feeling like you're just kind of a useless member. Well, just because you think you're not a part of it anymore, does that mean you're not a part of it anymore? No. Who put this body together? You didn't. God did. He says you're part of the body. And you're an honorable part of the body. Why? Because you're part of the body. Every member of the body is honorable. So, if the foot shall say, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it not of the body? So we have all of these members looking at each other and envying one another and coveting each other's gifts and position. And Paul says the body's not one member. You're all different members, but you're still part of the same body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? If everyone had the same position, if everyone was a hand, there'd be an awful lot of things your body couldn't do, and a lot of things that your hands do today that they couldn't do if you were all hands, because you need your feet and your legs and your arms and the rest of it to get you there. Your fingers. Say, my hands are wonderful. Yeah, where would they be without your fingers? Every individual member has a role to play, an important role. But now, verse 18, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Here, come back with me to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. God has set everyone in the body as it hath pleased him. So your place in the body. God has put you there. And for these Corinthians, even more importantly, your brother's place in the body. Yes. Your sister's place in the body. God put them there.
Yes, sir.
And you need to realize that and recognize that and give it the honor that it's due. And your own, you know. Paul, we're in 139 Psalm. Paul, in that passage, he's encouraging saints who feel like they're not as important in the body as they ought to be. He's saying, you know, you're feeling like you're not even a part of the body, and you are. But he's also exercising a little bit of what we would call tough love there with somebody like that. Because he's saying, look, just because you're sitting around thinking, oh, woe is me, I'm not part of the body, I'm not, you know, I don't have any effect here, does that mean you're not part of the body? No, you're still a part of the body. So get out of your pity party and start being a part of the body. You seeing yourself and talking about, oh, I'm just a lowly, you know, blah, 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 get that low self-esteem nonsense out. And get with the program, realize who God has made you to be, and start functioning as God has created you to function. Just because you tell yourself, I'm not a part of this thing, doesn't mean you get to bow out. You are a part of this body. And believe God when he tells you that and what to do about it. So Paul's doing both of those things. He's trying to encourage these saints. But you know, sometimes that stuff, it becomes an excuse. That, you know, low self-esteem, whatever it is. Pastor Stamm calls that passage the body and its inferiority complex. All the members look at all the other members and go, oh, what a great Christian they are. I wish I was like them. See, the problem is you get to go home with yourself. If you went home with the other person, you realize they're about as good a Christian as you are, probably. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. This psalm goes on. This psalm talks about the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the omnipotence of God, the 139th Psalm. And it's in the midst of that, of God being all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. Drop down to verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. David's talking about his conception and gestation, his development in the womb. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. So David says, Lord, you saw me. He's talking about you seeing me afar off, and there's no place I can hide from you, and you know my thoughts. And here he says, you saw me in the womb. You saw me before I was ever formed. And he says, you see what he says? Thine eyes, in verse 16, did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Before David was ever formed, God had a picture of him. He drew his body, his members, in his book. He drew a picture of David before he was ever formed and what he was going to look like. That's you. That's you. And we're talking about the body now. Paul says, God hath set every member in the body as it pleased him. See, this is how God does it. God drew a picture of you before you were ever formed. In his book, all your members were written.
Yes, sir.
Now we're talking about the body of Christ here. Where is your place in the body of Christ? You know where it is? It's right where God wrote you in. That's where it is. Now what you do is you do your Spirit-led best and your grace-given best to walk and to fulfill that function in that place that God has put you, because that's why you're there. To be Christ in that place. Back in our passage. First Corinthians 12. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? So Paul's talking about God's design for you and for me as Christians. The design is that of a body. And the reason for it is so that we could have these differences that we have between each other. We've talked about, we all have different leanings, we all have different propensities, and we all have different personalities. Some of us are more gentle, and some of us are a little more aggressive or assertive, let's put it that way. Some of us are quiet, some of us are a little louder. I know when I get here and you all are talking, and I know you all love the fellowship, and it's time to get the study started, I have to say, good morning, and I scare myself when I do that, because it's got to get everyone. So some people can be a loudmouth, but and that personality, those personality differences, you know, I mean, especially when you get the abrasive on the abrasive, that's when it really gets to rub in the wrong way, right? But there's a reason for it. There's a reason why your brother, your sister is the way they are in this body. There's a reason. So, my foot can't really get anywhere near my ear. And I know some people that yoga stuff, you know, I don't know what that's all about. But for me, that doesn't work. But the body functions just fine. Those two members of my body, they don't come together too often, and if they do, Lord, I'm in trouble somehow. Something horrible has gone wrong. But we function together just fine. They don't we can function with these differences as long as we all understand that we're all playing our part. We're all doing what God has given to us to do. And it's together. It's not about what can you do and what can I do. It's what can we do. That's the design. That's what Paul's trying to get across here. God created a body. He didn't just create one member. He created a body. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now, verse 20, are they many members, yet but one body? Unity in diversity. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So now, that the previous passage, Pastor Stamm calls the inferiority complex. Now we get into the body and its superiority complex. Now you don't have the foot saying, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Now you've got the eye saying to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So now you got these members on the other side looking at the other members and saying, you know, what are you even doing here? You're taking up space. We don't need you here. So you got both sides of that same coin. You got that inferiority complex and you got the superiority complex. And Paul says neither one of those is of God, because God put you all together to do this work. Now notice here. Look again in verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. So the foot is envying the hand and saying, the hand has such a better position than me. The hand has such a glorious position in this body. The hand is a wonderful thing, and I wish I were the hand. Then verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. So the eye is despising the hand that the foot is coveting and admiring. So it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? The foot thinks that position of the hand is a great and glorious thing. The eye looks at that same hand and he despises it. And God created them all. And he put them all in the body to fulfill one goal and one purpose. You know how it is to want the things that you don't have, and then you get that thing that you wanted, that you coveted, and what happens? You enjoy that for a short time, and you want the next thing. You know that's how your flesh works. It's how mine works. Never satisfied. If that foot could be the hand, you know what would happen? He'd want to be the eye. And people say, I've heard people say, and I've probably said it myself, you know, I'd be happy just to be the Lord's footstool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that'd be pretty cool. Have Jesus rest his feet on me. But you know what? While you're down there being the Lord's footstool, and all these other saints are walking around, looking him right in the eye, talking to him, serving him, you think you wouldn't start envying those saints and saying, oh, look at me, I'm just a lowly footstool. Of course you would. But what an honor it would be.
Yes, sir.
But you see somebody else and all of a sudden the bloom is off the rose, right?
Yes.
That's how covetous works, covetousness. Can't have that in the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. See, when you put these, if all of these members were just laid out, okay, that's kind of a gross image, but okay, all these members are laid out on a table, and you look at every one of them, there are some of them that are just more attractive than others, and some that are just less attractive than others. Feet are not particularly, appealing to look at. I don't know. Maybe. In all separately, yeah. Some are better than others. Some are more functional. Look, I can do this with this part. I can't do that with this part. If they were all just separate members, yeah, you could pick and choose and say, hey, this one's more useful, this one looks better, this one's... But when they're all a part of one body, you don't look at it that way. What do? You look at the body. Body's holding that trophy. Who's holding that trophy? You're not thinking, oh boy, that guy's hands must be proud. You're going, look at that guy. He just took that trophy. What a great thing. And he's honored. The person, the body is honored. You start splitting these members up, and yeah, we can start talking about, you know, who's, as Paul calls it, more feeble. who's more comely among the different members of your body? You know, the external members of our body, the ones you can see, those are our comely parts. You want to talk about some uncomely parts? Let's start talking about our internal organs. Now you're talking about stuff you don't really want to see. Try functioning without them. Those ones that are undercover, that no one ever sees. Doing things, working, no one ever sees. Try doing the work without them. The members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. The appendix. Long time we didn't even know what the appendix was for. It was useless. Well, now we're finding out that that feeble little member there is necessary. God, of course it's necessary. God put it there. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Because why? Because they're part of the body. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So now, it's not just that we're all a part of the same body here. God has equalized things in the body. He gives more abundant honor to those uncomely, feeble members. Why? So that every member in the body has the same honor, has the same position. What is that position? You are a part of the body. You are a part of the body of Christ. You understand there is nothing more honorable, more glorious, and higher than that. Nothing. Israel's not higher than that. The world is not higher than that. The angels are not higher than that. You're a member of the body of Christ. That's the honor you have. It's not about looking at the other members and saying, well, they have more honor than me. It's about saying, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And there is nothing more glorious than that. This is how God has designed it. So that we all have the same honor because we're all part of the same body. You think they're going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ's right toe more than they do his left thumb? No, they're going to glorify him. That's how God has created us. In him. Those members which we think to be less honorable, we're looking at them all spread out on the table because we're all different people. God doesn't see it that way. Upon these, when we look at it God's way, we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Come with me. We haven't looked at a lot of verses here, but come with me to Exodus and chapter 30. I think it's, you know, the passage we're in here is really kind of self-explanatory, isn't it? There's only so many times, so many ways you can say, yeah, we're all different, but we're all part of the same body. And yet Paul takes the time to go through it in that kind of detail. And whether you see yourself as a foot or a hand, I know you never even thought of yourself this way, did you? Now I got something else to do. I got to figure out which member of the body am I? Am I a foot? Am I a hand? Am I an eye? If you think yourself to be less in the body than you ought to be, take heed to this passage. Take comfort, take encouragement, and take the chastening. Knock that stuff off, that low self-esteem nonsense, and start walking by faith. And if you think that you're better than somebody else, in the church, some other member of the body, whether here in this place or in the body out there. Take heed to this passage. Never mind that superiority nonsense, and that if everybody else just did it like me, the body would function a lot better. If they were all one member, where were the body? Recognize that this is the way God has set it up, and glorify Him for it, and give them the honor they deserve. Exodus chapter 30. Look at verse 22. We're talking about the kind of implements of the tabernacle here. Moreover, verse 22, Exodus 30. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil olive and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound, after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Now you see there, that's interesting to me what God does here. He's giving a recipe. God is giving the nation of Israel a recipe for an anointing oil for the priesthood and for all the implements of the tabernacle. You go down through here and they take that oil, they put it on the tabernacle, on the ark, on the table, on the candlestick, on the altar. Every piece of furniture in that place gets anointed with this oil. And had God wanted, He could have created this oil. Like He created the olive tree, to bear fruit that you can squeeze that thing and get this oil out of. But He didn't. You see what He created back in verse 23? Take thou also unto the principal spices. See, He created the root elements, the basic elements. That's what He created. And then He tells His people how to put those things together so that they work, so that they form something that is pleasing to God. It's only when you put them together. He creates the principles, and then He instructs on how those principles work together and come together. And you know what He calls that? Look later on in the chapter. Verse 34. The Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, no idea what any of these are, and onycha, and galbanum, I can't even see these letters. These sweet spices, and with pure frankincense, of each there shall be a like weight. Okay, so now here, for the oil, He said, okay, take twice as much as this, half as much as that. He gave a recipe. Here He's going to give a recipe, but it's all the same weight. But it's different spices. Thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. In our passage, this is why we're here, Paul says that God hath tempered the body together. So this is what he's talking about. God gives the raw materials, and He gives the instruction for how those raw materials are going to come together. And if you do it the way that He says, you're going to end up with something that pleases Him. And you're going to end up doing the will of God. But only, you can't do it without one of those ingredients. And you can't do it without everyone in their measure. That some of those spices and some of those oils in those things are more potent than others. So you cut the dose in half on this one and you double it up on that one. And this one you don't want to be as strong and as pungent or as whatever, sweet as the other. So you just put a a little bit of that in there. And the other one you got to put a whole bunch of, because that's like the element in the body of the stuff. And then you spice that up with all these other things. When you do it all in the measure that God has given, every member, every ingredient, working in the measure that God has given to it, then we end up with something that's tempered together and functions perfectly as God has designed. If you're pure frankincense, well, praise God. But you know what? God doesn't call for pure frankincense in that situation. You couldn't do it by yourself if you wanted to. Even if you could make it look like you were doing it by yourself, you wouldn't. Because there's other ingredients necessary. And if you think you're an unimportant ingredient, without one of those little spices in there, without some of those half-measure spices, that thing wouldn't be what God wanted it to be. Every one of us is necessary, and on every one of us, God has bestowed more abundant honor. We all make the thing work in our own measure. Back in our passage, we can close it out. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism. Now, here's why he did it. We give more abundant honor to that part which lacks, so that we all have the same honor. That there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So we care for the others equally as we care for ourselves, and we care for each one equally as we care for the others. Again, you know, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to my feet for the first 40 years of my life. I've been paying a lot of attention to them in the last 10. Because, you know, when certain members need attention, the rest of the body gives them the attention they need. That's what a body does.
Yes, sir, it does.
Right? We have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. We know how that works, right? You step on a nail, that pain starts in your foot, and that shoots right up through your whole body, doesn't it? You get a, I don't do as much woodworking as I used to do, but you know, there's nothing like running your hand over a board that you just sanded and you thought you did it just right and you didn't, and running your hand right into a sliver. Yeah. And having that thing right up into your hand. Oh, there's nothing like it. You know what happens? You know what happens when that happens? You don't even think. I get a sliver ran up into my left hand, and what happens? Immediately, my right hand comes over and grabs that thing and pulls it out. My right hand doesn't argue. It doesn't complain. It doesn't say, well, that's not my problem. I'm fine. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, and all the members play their part. My eye is going to that sliver, my hand is coming, my fingernails are grabbing that thing. Every member is putting in their part to take care of that, to have the same care one for another, because when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. The feet don't envy the hand because the feet ran the race, but the hands get the trophy. All the members are honored together. This is how this works. This is how we're designed. A body. We're not just a nation. We're not just a family. We're not just friends. We're a body. This is how God has designed for us to work, to operate. It's how He works in us. Now, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we'll go down and finish out this chapter next week. There's a lot in those next few verses there, but let's get both sides of what Paul's dealing with here. You're not unimportant, and you ain't no more important than the next guy. Praise God. We're all as honored as we can possibly be. There is no higher position than the one you hold. And there is no higher position than the one your brother holds. Amen? Amen. Do you have a question?